Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Florida's new six-week abortion ban is officially in effect this morning. New restrictions sparked a scramble at clinics across the state and set off a race to overturn the law through a ballot measure this fall.
This will have to go beyond partisan politics. While some Democrats believe the ballot measure could put Florida in play for President Biden, it needs a 60% supermajority to pass, which means it will need significant support from Republicans and independents.
Yeah, it was actually kind of, it was a little bit funny that they asked yesterday at the press conference, or Governor DeSantis asked him about this thing. You know, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are coming to Florida to make an issue out of abortion. Does that put, you know, does it put Florida in play?
The vice president is going to be in Jacksonville tomorrow. They've been making the abortion issue, saying that Florida is now back in play as a result of that. Your thoughts?
The laughter. That's great.
So first of all, I mean, if you remember when I became governor, this state had almost 300,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. Today, we have 900,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats. I mean,
so is this likely to put the state back in play, needing 60% and high participation from Republicans? Probably not.
I welcome Biden-Harris to spend a lot of money in Florida. Light up the airwaves. Do it. Light it on fire. We are fine with you doing that here, but I can confidently predict that you'll see Republican victories, not just at the top of the ticket, but up and down the ballot, and I think that's a good thing.
It is really interesting, though, to hear, and, you know, again, I'm a stickler for language. I'm a philosopher. I'm a logician. I care about words. Words matter. Words mean things, and particularly in the news business, a lot of times people, either because they don't understand or care enough, or because they do and don't care, and don't mind using words. There's all kinds of ways in which we talk about this issue that are, in my opinion, illegitimate. And NBC this morning sort of fell into one of the familiar traps here.
The amendment would protect abortion rights until roughly 24 weeks. But either way, that vote does not happen until November. And this six-week ban is law until then.
It's that one word, rights, I want to talk about for just a minute, because the notion that there are abortion rights that are now being restricted by Florida, or what some would prefer to say, being violated by Florida, as they are being restricted or violated or both by every other southeastern state, all the way to 0 weeks, like no abortion is legal, for example, in the state of Alabama right now, or up to 12 weeks in some places. But if you look at a map of the U.S., the southeast is, except for Florida, had been at 15 weeks, is now at 6 weeks as of today, very restrictive of access to abortion. That's a neutral term, access to abortion, or, you know, the ability to secure an abortion. That's also a neutral term. The right to abortion, that's a very curious one. And to understand why I think that's such a mischaracterization, we need to kind of back up and talk about what the word means. You know, in America, we care about rights. It's kind of like the core of our political philosophy. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that's the for public consumption version. And then, of course, in the actual Constitution, it says life, liberty, and property, which actually makes a lot more sense as a concept. It's very hard to protect the pursuit of happiness. It's very it's much easier to protect the right to property. You steal from me, okay, that's theft. We're going to return your property. So we believe in rights in America. In fact, the idea of rights is very important to us. The right to free press, the right to keep and bear arms, you know, the right to be secure in your possessions against unwarranted searches and seizures, right? There's rights and the protection of them going back several hundred years in political philosophy to people like Locke are the core of our American system of government. And the reason we rebelled against England is because we said they're violating our rights systematically again and again and again, depriving us of what we are entitled to as either citizens of a kingdom or just, you know, as humans, these God-given rights. And so the idea of rights is very important. But the question is, where do rights come from? And then why does that kind of talk not really apply to abortion? I'll explain in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are going anywhere near Bayfront and Chase Street, there is a trailer that is overturned that is going to be blocking traffic for the next 2 to 3 hours. So if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze off the 3 Mile Bridge, keep right, take Gregory Street when you're entering Pensacola. If you are heading southbound on I-10, take Cervantes and use the 17th Street to get to the bridge, to get to Gulf Breeze. And if you are coming in eastbound from Bayfront, go ahead and take 9th north to Cervantes and use the 17th intersection as well to get to Gulf Breeze. Entering I-10 westbound from Davis Highway, there is a motorcycle crash that is still being handled by first responders. Please use caution when you're entering I-10. If you're heading westbound on 98, at the Avalon intersection, there's a traffic light outage causing a bit of a slowdown in Tiger Point area. There are police officers directing traffic through the area. Eastbound on Highway 98, right after the 87 intersection, traffic is building up heading all the way to Hurlburt Field. And in Pace, Woodbine is building up all the way from Highway 90 to Oak Tree Lane. I wish I could offer you an alternate route, but the same traffic looks like it's building up on Chemukla and Highway 90 as well, so expect some delays there. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So just back to this conversation about the 6-week abortion ban that's now in effect in Florida, the language of rights, which is often used surrounding that subject. And just kind of to analyze whether that's the appropriate use of a term, I would say no, and here's why. We believe that rights come from God. They need to come from somewhere. They have to pre-exist governments. People sometimes think that rights come from government. You know, well, the reason you have a right to be secure in your person or to own your property or to have liberty is because the government... No. The Constitution recognizes your rights and protects your rights. It does not give you those rights. At least, I mean, some of them, yes, there are legal rights, but the natural rights, the ones that are inalienable, our political philosophy says they come from God. And if you don't think they come from God, you need to come up with another source, and that's fine. We can have a conversation about that. But the source needs to pre-exist government. Because what we say about governments is governments are just to the degree they protect your rights. They are unjust to the degree they violate them. So if governments murder their people, we say they're violating people's right to life. Not that they don't have one, but it's being violated. If governments imprison people unjustly, we say it's violating people's liberty rights. Or if it tells them what they can and cannot do, it's violating liberty rights. Or if it tells them that they cannot keep their property, it overtaxes them, or it permits theft. Right? If somebody steals from you, we don't say you don't have a right to your property. We say your right to property has been violated. And the job of the government is to restore your property and force the person to make you whole because you have a property right. So rights must pre-exist government, and governments get their just authority to the degree they protect those rights. That's the idea. Now, take that same thinking and apply it to other subjects. Well, what we've had a habit of in America, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but this is it's important to get this. We have a habit of misusing language to try to make our point more persuasive, even if it's not fair. And so we say things are a right when they're really just a want. You know, instead of saying, I want a good job, we say, I have a right to a job. Because people pay attention when you say that in America, because rights are significant. Instead of saying, you know, I want to have an education, we say, I have a right to an education. Instead of saying, and again, I want to have an abortion, say, I have a right to an abortion. Because it's more meaningful if you can say that. And if you say it often enough, eventually that's the language people adopt. And what we've done is kind of borrow the credibility of legitimate rights talk in discussing something else where that talk doesn't really matter, because the question would be, well, where does that right come from? Again, if you're looking at God, and this is regardless of which religion you pick, I mean, all of the major religions are pro-life. They all think that be fruitful and multiply, particularly the Christian religion. But, you know, generally speaking, make babies is kind of the idea of religion. Have families, make babies, reproduce. That's good. God loves life. God gave you the ability to make life. So that's your starting point, is God likes babies, wants to protect babies. Making babies and having them within the context of marriage is the norm. So where would something like a right to an abortion come from? You can't lay that at God's feet, so the question is, where else would it be? Body liberty. You know, God wants liberty in general. That's true. But again, that liberty is sort of constrained by other things. There's victimless crimes that God apparently does not like. There are victimed crimes that God does not like. I mean, I can't punch you. That's an expression of body liberty, but I'm interfering with your right not to be punched, right? So there are constraints on liberty where we don't say that your liberty is being violated, even though there's a constraint on it, because it comes within limits to respect to other people's rights. So again, this language of rights, people use it as a way of gaining more attention or gaining more seeming legitimacy to something. But the idea of body liberty protecting the right to abortion would obviously come up against what? Number one, the origin story of where you'd get that right. And number two, are you infringing on anybody else's right? And then we talk about the fetus, right? Is the fetus a person? It's clearly a future person. Is it a now person? Does it have any rights? Well, that's been the conversation. But certainly what pro-lifers believe is that the right to life, sort of a primordial right, the basis of all the other rights, inheres within the fetus, in the child. Just as you cannot kill children, you cannot destroy the fetus, which is a future person and will naturally become a born child if you leave it alone, basically. And so that's why we say that the child has a right to life. That's an expression that makes sense, because life is a gift from God. Again, Declaration of Independence says it. But is the right to an abortion? Well, not so much. So anyway, that doesn't settle any issues. That doesn't make you want to be on one side or the other. I'm just telling you that as a philosopher, as a logician, as a linguist, somebody who cares about this stuff, I think people should be more judicious in their use of language. And instead of saying we're protecting a right to abortion or interfering with the right to abortion, what we should maybe say is expanding the right to life of a child. Or protecting the right to life of a child. That would almost be neutral terminology. I know it's not what our news organizations are going to embrace, but just kind of when you think about this, always be aware when language is used to persuade you instead of the ideas being used to persuade you. 722 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you're ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
It's 7:25 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Everything's clear and good this morning, right, Jimmy?
We have got so much traffic, it's ridiculous. So there has been a trailer overturned on Bayfront and Chase Street, and that's going to be blocking traffic for the next 2 to 3 hours as people, as responders clear that out. So if you are coming in from Gulf Breeze, please keep right when you're coming off the bridge and stay on Gregory Street. If you are heading towards Gulf Breeze, southbound from I-10, go ahead and take Cervantes. and go all the way down to 17th and use that that street, that entrance to the bridge. And if you're coming in from Bayfront, go ahead and take 9th, North 9th, and to Cervantes, and then hop on 17th to get on the bridge. If you're entering I-10 westbound from Davis Highway, motorcycle crash that is still being handled by first responders, so use caution driving there. Westbound on 98 at the Avalon intersection, traffic light outage causing a bit of slowdown in Tiger Point area. There are police officers directing traffic through the area. Eastbound on Highway 98, right after the 87 intersection, traffic is building up, heading all the way to Hurlburt Field. There is a car stall on Fairfield going eastbound right before W Street that is backing up traffic quite a bit. And in Pace, Woodbine is building up all the way from Highway 90 to Oak Tree Lane. And the same thing is happening on Chamukla, so if you were using that as an alternate route, you can expect delays there as well. If you see anything else on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Somebody sent me kind of an interesting text, said talking about this right to life question, said convicts have the right to life. And I said, that's correct, unless they are convicted of a capital crime, in which case, now, opponents of the death penalty will say that the state is violating the human's right to life. No. The capital crimes mean that the state has decided that the right to life does not any longer inhere within that person. The person has forfeited the right to life, and that's why it is acceptable, even necessary, to execute them. So just, you know, again, thinking through all this stuff, that's correct. Even, by the way, just to take the abortion case as another example, when the mother's life is at risk, it is justified to abort the child because you're balancing two rights against each other. And the right to life of the child does not trump the right to life of the parent. You have one life versus another. That's why pro-lifers are, I mean, I've never met a pro-lifer who didn't believe that abortion was justified when it was to save the life of the mother. It's not that the child has not got a life right. It's that right life is overridden by the circumstance in which either two people die or one person dies. So just, you know, again, thinking clearly about these issues of rights is, I don't know, not something we're great at, unfortunately, given how important that subject is to our entire political philosophy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will attack the southern Gaza city of Rafah with or without a ceasefire deal. In a statement from his office, Netanyahu says it's out of the question that Israel would halt its war against Hamas before they achieve their goals. This comes as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is once again in the region to help negotiate the ceasefire deal. There's a big police presence at Columbia University after the NYPD cleared out the Hamilton Hall building. That was taken over by protesters early yesterday.
If you refuse to disperse, you will be placed under arrest and charged with disorderly conduct.
Last night, police went into the building. They made a large number of arrests. The university says they had no choice but to get the police involved to clear the hall out after it was vandalized, damaged, and blockaded. Students that took part in that are going to face expulsion. Police officials say the protests were co-opted by professional outside agitators. And Chris Hemsworth apparently wasn't a big fan of his performance in Thor: Love and Thunder. He did a profile in Vanity Fair. He looked back at the movie, which had a bit of a disappointing reception. He said he got caught up in the improv and wackiness and became a parody of himself. So now apparently he says he owes fans another Thor movie because of it.
Come see my next movie. I will owe you the apology, the makeup acting performance. Is Love and Thunder the one where he was fat? Is that, I can't remember all the different versions of it.
No, I don't think so.
That was the previous one, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
All right, that was the one where Natalie Portman was the new Thor, right? Is that?
I don't know. I'm not caught up on all the latest ones.
How many Marvel Cinematic Universe movies?
Avengers,
there's like 30.
Avengers is where he was fat.
Okay.
I don't keep up with all the movies. Yeah, but
you know that better.
I know that one.
I'll take it.
save ourselves some
I
text
cannot
messages.
Remember
anything
all of
after Endgame, I'm kind of fuzzy on.
Yeah, I'm fairly good on Endgame and what was the other one that's paired with Endgame? The preface to Endgame? Anyway, I'm okay. I can't remember the name of it. All right. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts, Andrew, your logic says that before there was Christianity, there would be no rights. No, I mean, if God establishes the rights can predate even the Bible or something like that. That would just be a better codified version of them and a more, you know, officially announced version of them. So anyway, it's an interesting conversation that people don't usually have. We kind of take for granted, oh, rights, that's the appropriate language. Maybe not.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. The LAPD and California Highway Patrol on the campus of UCLA stopping a brawl between pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian protesters.
It was 2 a.m. Eastern, roughly, that these brawls, this out-and-out fighting, what at times looked like a riot, started. It wasn't until after 5 a.m. Eastern that any law enforcement got onto the campus.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt in L.A. Portland State University in Oregon closed again today. Pro-Palestinian protesters seizing control of a library for a third straight day.
I don't think that the ostensible goal here of helping Palestinians is really what anybody's doing.
In front of the library, barricaded police are monitoring the situation. Columbia University's Hamilton Hall back in control of the school. University gave the NYPD the green light to clear out the building. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. 70 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy, and it is just a very busy traffic morning with several issues already reported today. PPD says a big trailer is overturned at Bayfront and Chase Street.
Yeah, that's going to be a mess for a while. They're estimating 2 to 3 hours.
That's PPD's Mike Wood, and that trailer is overturned in the westbound lanes there. He says officers are trying to keep the eastbound lanes open, but they may need to get vehicles in to recover and get that trailer back on its wheels. We'll have an update in a couple of minutes with Jimmy and get the latest on that. A Pensacola judge is dismissing a lawsuit that sought to hold Saudi Arabia accountable for the NAS Pensacola shootings in 2019. According to Channel 3, that ruling came from federal judge Casey Rogers, who agreed with Saudi lawyers that the kingdom is beyond the jurisdiction of American courts. The suspect, who is in Pensacola as part of a cooperative training program between the two countries, shot and killed Cameron Walters, Muhammad Haitham, and Joshua Watson before he was ultimately shot and killed by first responders. An investigation underway today as another fatal shooting happened in Escambia County last night. This happened at Topaz and Emerald Avenues. Escambia Sheriff's Office says they are currently looking for a suspect in the case. Well, if you're looking to adopt a new member of the family soon, you may want to check out area shelters for the next few weeks. Both the Escambia County Animal Shelter in Pensacola and the Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter in Milton are participating in the Bissell Pet Foundation's Empty the Shelters event. That's going to run through May 15th. That means both of those shelters will have reduced adoption rates for both cats and dogs. In Escambia County, adoptions for older cats and dogs will be free. Puppies will be $50 and kittens $25. And in Santa Rosa County, a flat rate of $10 for any adoption at their shelter. Well, if you're headed downtown today, the new parking rates have gone into effect. With the changes, rates are going from 50 cents an hour to $1 per hour. City leaders estimate that'll lead to an increase of $240,000 in revenue and will allow for more reinvestment into the overall parking experience in the city. It's the first time Pensacola has increased parking rates since 2007. City parking will remain free on Sundays, though, excluding boat ramps. We're 1 month out from the start of the Atlantic hurricane season. The House passing the Fixing Gaps in Hurricane Preparedness Act.
Our bill instructs NOAA to evaluate the level of people's preparedness for hurricane-prone areas, better understand how at-risk populations receive, interpret, and react to emergency notifications.
And that is Congressman Maxwell Frost. He says the bill ensures hurricane preparedness tools and alerts address the needs of seniors, people that have disabilities, and non-English speakers. They say their goal is to reduce fear and also to save lives. Well, the state's six-week abortion law, now officially in effect. Opponents say it's too extreme.
So even a six-week abortion ban is like a total ban because so many people don't even know they're pregnant.
That is Democrat Congresswoman Frederica Wilson. Under the law, victims of rape, incest, or human trafficking, though, can continue to access abortion up to 15 weeks, but they do have to provide some type of proof, like a police report. Voters weighing in on Amendment 4 this November. If that's approved, it would guarantee a constitutional right to abortion until fetal viability. It's 7:35, and let's go ahead and get an update on our traffic on the fives. Lots of issues on the road. What are you seeing, Jimmy?
Well, like you said, that trailer that is overturned on Bayfront and Chase Street is causing a huge backup going eastbound, blocking traffic for the next 2 or 3 hours as we get that taken care of. So if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, keep right when you're coming off the bridge. Take Gregory Street. If you are heading towards Gulf Breeze from I-10, go ahead and take that Cervantes exit and take it all the way down to 17th. And same for Bayfront. If you are coming in from Bayfront, take 9th up to Cervantes and use 17 to access Gulf Breeze. If you're heading westbound on 98 at the Avalon intersection, there's a traffic light outage that's causing a bit of a slowdown in the Tiger Point area. There are police officers directing traffic through the area. A little bit north on Avalon and Cyanamid Road, there is a 3-car crash that is backing up some traffic there. Eastbound on Highway 98, right after the 87 intersection, traffic is building up heading all the way to Hurlburt Field. And entering I-10 westbound from Davis Highway, a motorcycle crash that is still being handled by the first responders. So please use caution driving through there. Eastbound on Fairfield, going right before W Street, there's a car stalled on one of the lanes. That is backing up traffic significantly. And in Pace and Milton, Woodbine is building up all the way from Highway 90 to Oak Tree Lane. And the same is happening on Highway 90 and Chemukla. So if you were planning on using that as an alternate route, I think you can expect the same sort of delays. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We will have areas of fog possible this morning. Otherwise, going to be seeing mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High today near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 70 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and of course online on our app as well.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Communications Commission has issued $200 million worth of fines against wireless carriers, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile and Verizon for illegally sharing customers' location data without their consent. The FCC argues that the four firms are required to take reasonable measures to protect certain consumer data per federal law. T-Mobile faces the largest fine at $80 million. Shares of Pinterest have soared 18% after the company reported first quarter results that beat analysts' estimates. Revenue for the quarter was $740 million, which is a 23% jump from a year earlier. In its first quarter release, Pinterest CEO Bill Ready said the company is driving greater returns for advertisers because of its investments in AI and other shopping capabilities. Futures are moderately lower as we await the results from the Fed's meeting today. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 570. That's your money now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Angelina's cooking class, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Thank you.
notified by TSA this morning that they'll be bringing eight of their officers, deploying eight of their officers that they move around the country in different situations based on need. And they'll be here next Sunday. So through July 27th, and want to give Congressman Gates and Senator Scott a lot of credit for that, for picking up the phone and answering the bell for us.
Mayor D.C. Reeves talking during last week's city council meeting about the strike team of random roving TSA agents that's going to come help bail out our stressed system here in Pensacola. Joining us now by phone, we have D.C. is out of the country. So we're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the former commanding officer at NES Pensacola, or NES Whitingfield, excuse me. He was also the assistant county administrator here in Escambia, but then he returned to being the airport director where he now safely resides. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm good. My producer, Jimmy, asked me what music to use for you, and I said, play Wagner, he'll get a chuckle out of that.
That's awesome.
As a former Hilo pilot yourself. Okay, so let's talk about this strike team. It sounds like this is kind of available labor force to do exactly what we're requesting be done, which is to staff up our TSA. Is that right?
Exactly. They call it a national deployment force. And
They do use the word force in it. That's great. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they actually, they have TSOs, the security officers around the country that volunteer part of the program, and then they can deploy them when or where they're needed. And in our particular case, they're sending eight to us. The other thing we ask for, too, is we ask for the TSA to do kind of a optimization study on our queuing, our equipment, the teams there, just to make sure that their operation is operating as efficient as possible. And we'll go from there and hopefully see some positive results. You know, they're struggling with resourcing too, and their employment, their force, their workforce. So it's a struggle for them, and that's one of the things we're seeing here. And we're not unique either. There's a lot of areas around the country that are suffering from this.
It's a temporary thing, right? I think, is it 2 months that they're going to be here? Is there which, of course, that's good during the high season for tourism. I like that. But is there a plan in place other than temporary bump and hopefully they do a study on our use of resources? I mean, what happens when they leave? We're back to where we are now?
No. So they're in the process of, they've increased their manning allotment for Pensacola.
Oh.
So they're in the process of hiring permanent employees to work here. So they're going to be increasing that. I don't have the exact number, but working with the federal security director, he notified me that they are hiring. They're pushing hard to hire folks. Again, they're having issues with their workforce. So, but they did get their authorization to hire more bodies here at Pensacola.
Oh, well, that's great news. Okay, so they've basically expanded the number of jobs that we're going to have, and now in the meantime, while we're trying to hire them, this is the temporary stopgap measure to kind of staff up, but not on a permanent basis. Okay, that makes sense. Is it an infrastructure need too? I mean, labor is part of the equation, and obviously, new terminal. We're looking at that, working on that long term. But is there infrastructure need too, or is it really like just staffing should be adequate, other than what the study might reveal?
I believe if they're operating fully manned and their operation is efficient, then we don't have an infrastructure problem. However, obviously, going there, we're getting days where we're getting, anywhere from 5-6 in the summer. We expect to see 7,000 employments coming through there. And depending on, we try to work the schedules, depending on those schedules, you might get a compression of people coming through at a given time.
Sure.
Then it could be infrastructure. But I believe if we take care of the manning issues, the efficiency issues, their equipment issues that they have now and then, that we should be able to operate in a manner that's suitable for our customers.
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just guessing on what I think I know. But is this a problem also of the fact that you have high demand for TSA primarily at certain times of day, primarily in the mornings? And so it's not a constant demand throughout the day because of where we stand in the overall interaction with other airports and how our flights are structured. Am I thinking right about that?
You are. So if you look at our schedule, so I get a hourly forecast every day down to the exact number of what they expect to see for passengers coming in the door. So those lanes, we have four lanes. We try to do 150 people an hour, say, through each lane. So that gives us efficiently, we can do about 600 if they're all manned, all operating. What you see sometimes, though, depending on the flight schedule, you may get a compression for a couple hours where you might see 700 needing to be screened. And that's when they have to be at the top of their game. Those times are typically in the early morning and around, and they change every day, but sure. I would say 10 to 2. Oftentimes you'll see a compression around those time frames.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're doing 7,000 emplanements a day, you know, roughly 10 hours of emplaning, let's say 700 is your max. I mean, I can start to see how the math works out that, you know, additional staff and an additional line, you know, theoretically might be needed at particular times, as you said. Very interesting. We're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the airport director. Hang on for just a second, Matt. We got traffic on the fives with Jimmy.
All right, like we've been mentioning all morning, there is a overturned trailer on the intersection of Bayfront and Chase Street, and that's going to be there for about 2 to 3 hours as we get that sorted out. Listen to these directions. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, take Gregory Street when you're exiting the 3 Mile Bridge. If you are heading southbound from I-10, go ahead and take that Cervantes exit and use 17th to get to the bridge and go to Gulf Breeze. And if you are coming in from Bayfront, I would say take 9th, but it is building up significantly. You might be better off going and taking Palafox north up to Cervantes and getting on 17th. Westbound on 98 at the Avalon intersection, traffic light, if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, traffic light outage causing a bit of a slowdown in the Tiger Point area. There are police officers directing traffic through the area. Eastbound on 98, right after the 87 intersection, traffic is building up, heading all the way to Hurlburt Field. Entering I-10 westbound from Davis Highway, there was a motorcycle crash there earlier. It's unclear as to whether that has been taken care of, but just use caution in that area. In Fairfield, eastbound right before W Street, a stalled car is backing everybody up for about a mile, so use expect delays there. And in Milton, heading southbound on Avalon towards I-10 and Cyanamid Road.
Right, yes. By the courthouse.
Yes, right by the courthouse. Three-car pileup is backing up traffic, so use caution driving through that area. If you see anything else, please, if you want to add to this list, please call or text our...
Don't please. Add to it by being a problem.
Please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Jimmy, you've been doing this, what, 3 weeks now?
Something like that.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
you
it.
You really are. Back to Matt Coughlin, the airport director, Pensacola International Airport. Matt, one of the announcements that I think is either, it's just pending. I think we've got a new airline coming, Breeze Airlines, starting in June. Is that right?
Yeah, Breeze Airways starts June 28th, and we're going to have nonstop intra-Florida to Tampa, and then they add what they call a breeze-through flight. You can stay on the same airplane and go up to Norfolk, but that plane, when it comes to Pensacola, will be coming direct from Norfolk also. So it's kind of like I call it a round robin, basically Norfolk, Pensacola, Tampa, and then back up to Norfolk.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you could just kind of get on and ride all day if you had that. It's like riding the bus or the train or something like that. Okay, so it's that constant circular route. That's interesting. I've not heard of other airlines doing that. Is that unique to them?
Yeah, they do. They coin it the breeze through. And you see that in some of the airlines. They just don't advertise it.
I gotcha. Okay.
Every once in a while, you might be on the same aircraft.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question that one of the listeners asked me to ask, which is, on the one hand, we are having problems with TSA screenings. You know, we're having throughput problems. On the other hand, we're expanding routes, which is expanding demand and service. How can we do both at the same time? Who's the genius that decided in a stressed infrastructure situation to add more cars, basically?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's a balancing act. We're charged with
providing service and travel choices for the community. And we're going to do our best to get those choices here and options, different airlines, different routes. And at the same time, we have to balance that against, you know, our situation where we're stressed, both in parking and just throughput in the building. So we work, you know, there's things you can do to mitigate that, you know, whether it's work with the airlines on their schedules. Sometimes that doesn't work out too well because they have pretty much set schedules. But there's other things you can do, and that's really what we do. And we the other thing we do is we always have projects going on. For example, the meet the parking issue. We've done a lot of shuffling of parking lots, moving employees just to add capacity in the short term. But in the longer term, July 1st, we're building a new lot. Give us about probably a 10% increase in capacity.
Oh, where's that lot going to be?
The thing about airports, that's going to be the former grass lot over there on Tippin.
Oh, so, you're actually going to pave that lot. Okay.
It's going to be paid. It's going to have revenue control equipment. So we're going to be adding 450 stalls over there. And that should, you know, that'll buy us some time. So the thing about airports is it's just a constant project. It's one project or another, and it's to meet that demand. So that kind of helps mitigate the issue that you bring up there.
Okay. And then the last question I wanted to ask you is, I know the mayor had said recently that we did not qualify for the federal grant for the new terminal, which is another part of expanding capacity, which would bring all kinds of things along with it. What does that mean? Does that mean that we've suffered a setback? Does that mean we're just not at the right point in the cycle? Is this money we could still get in a subsequent? I'm not sure quite what it means that we didn't get this grant.
We didn't get it, what I'd say, this time. So every year they offer this program. It's part of the bill funding. It's the airport terminal program. And there's a lot of money being pumped into it from the federal government. So we've applied for it a couple times now. We didn't get it. Probably one of the reasons is it depends how far you are in the design and you meet the requirements and whatnot. But there's two more cycles of this coming up, too. We're going to be submitting this again in August. And so we're asking for about just north of $20 million. And so hopefully it'll look good to the FAA and they'll fund it. They know we have issues. Matter of fact, the airport district's office in Orlando has been very supportive. They're pushing it through themselves, and they've been an advocate. So we feel pretty positive we'll eventually get it.
Okay, so it's not a no, it's a not yet, because there's a cycle and check marks, benchmarks you have to hit in order to qualify, and we just didn't quite get there this year, but we're hoping to get there for next year. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I know you got Building 3 is coming with ST Engineering and Aerospace. It's good to hear that we're building more new parking. I think we'll find that as soon as we build it, we need more, as you well know. But it's good to hear some of the things that are going on at the airport. And, oh, I said one last thing, but this is just the escalators and the elevators all work right. Remember, this was an issue the last couple of years, but everything has been refurbished and rebuilt, and we're all good. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Back to my point about constant projects, and the escalators in particular were one of those. And it was uncomfortable because you try to do those projects while you're trying to maintain operations. It can be difficult. But to answer your question, they're working great and they're brand new. They had to literally manufacture them in place due to the size of the building and framework and all that. But we haven't had any issues with them at all. I mean, they've been very, very reliable.
Very good. Matt Coughlin, he is the airport director for the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our tourists and our business people and all the rest of us traveling safely through the airport, sir. I appreciate the work.
Thanks, Andrew. You have a great day.
Absolutely. 7:55, News Radio 92.3. Before we break, let's get Jimmy in here with one last traffic on the fives.
Andrew, I'm a little offended because I've been making this traffic report all morning and it seems to just be getting worse. So there is.
They're trying to test you.
There is an overturned trailer on the intersection of Bayfront and Chase Streets.
Oh, so, I did get a note. Somebody sent a picture and it seems to show that's almost clearing.
Almost cleared. Okay. Sounds good. Well, still, if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, keep right coming off the bridge and take Gregory Street. If you're coming southbound from I-10, go ahead and take that Cervantes exit and use 17th Avenue to get onto the bridge. And if you're coming in from Bayfront, I would say 9th, but I would actually go and go ahead and take Palafox or something before that and get to Cervantes and use that to get to Gulf Breeze. If you're heading westbound on 98 at the Avalon intersection, the traffic light is still out. That is causing about a mile-long backup. There are police officers still directing traffic through the area. Eastbound on 98, right after the 87 intersection, traffic is building up heading all the way to Hurlburt Field. Entering I-10 westbound from Davis Highway, motorcycle crash earlier that was causing some backup being handled by first responders.
Looks like that one might be cleared, too. Somebody sent me a text, and I just checked the map. That might be gone now.
Okay, sounds good. And going eastbound on Fairfield Street, right before W, there is a stalled car that is backing everybody up about a half mile in the eastbound lane. And in Milton, there is a three-car pileup on Avalon heading towards I-10, southbound on Avalon and Cyanamid Road that is causing quite a backup. If you're coming in from Pace and Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic build up on the bridge there and heading into Davis Highway. Looks to be clearing up right outside the hospital, the West Florida Hospital. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the inaugural Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 17th through 19th. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting new event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off with Gallery Night on May 17th, followed by the Night at the Museum Gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On May 18th, don't miss the 4K run, walk, and patriotic parade along Bayfront in downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Maritime Park with a kids' fun zone, military displays, vessel tours, and more. Cap off the weekend with the free Blues on the Bay concert on May 19th. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.com for details, lodging specials, and to get involved. Pensacola Navy Days, where patriotism and Pensacola unite.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit PlayPensacola.com or follow social media at PlayPColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
Hey guys. Don't be that dad without life insurance. When thanks to Ethos, you can be that great dad with life insurance. To help keep his family living exactly like they do now, secure and protected in the event of the unexpected. With a fast and easy online experience, some policies as low as $1 a day and up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Ethos makes getting life insurance protection hassle-free. E for easy, E for ethos at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
That was your Matt Coughlin sound effect of the plane landing at the airport, what that was, the future airport. Let's get a real quick headline from David Wayne in the newsroom. David, you got a good one for me?
Well, police in Florida had to use tear gas when students were protesting at the University of Southern Florida. Students have been protesting there yesterday. They were given until 5 p.m. to disperse.
And arrested FSU and UF.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.